Ascent Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Virtual Collaboration by Harvard Business Review. Narrated by James Edward Thomas.
What is virtual collaboration? Few of us work every day, all day, in a traditional office anymore. We log in from clients' offices. We participate in conference calls on our commutes. We work more and more frequently with people perched at faraway desks whom we've never met. Virtual collaboration is the new norm. For the purpose of this book, virtual collaboration means all the work we do with others when we don't see them face to face. You're a virtual collaborator if you work outside an office regularly, full or part-time. Work from home in a pinch because of bad weather or to wait for a contractor. Care for a sick child, change your scenery, or get more done. Travel regularly, but need to stay in touch with your team back home. Are on a short-term assignment away from your usual workplace. The virtual part of these arrangements arises in how you interact with the people with whom you work. Brainstorming over video chat. Updating each other on projects by text, sharing files over email. In each scenario, the communication tool you're using functions as a simulated space where you meet to work together. Making this space work well poses a unique set of communication, scheduling, and motivational challenges. What's not virtual, of course, is the person on the other end. The pixelated, jerky figures on your screen are flesh and blood, and your interactions with them are subject to the same dynamics as any other professional encounter. You need to build rapport and trust, communicate effectively, and be productive. But these goals can be harder to achieve in a virtual setting. When communication becomes muddled, scheduling grows more complicated. And isolation and distractions prey on your ability to stay focused and motivated. This book shows you how to solve the technological and administrative puzzles of virtual collaboration. It presents solutions such as finding and using the right tools, routinizing communication, and tracking progress. And it gives you tips for managing the social and emotional experience, too, as you strive to deepen professional connections while working in isolation. The challenges of virtual collaboration. Just because we're all working remotely at some point in our careers doesn't mean that we're good at it. The habits that helped you in an office won't always make sense when you're working remotely. Which changes are hardest to adapt to? You must set and manage expectations more proactively. One of the great things about virtual work is that each person can tailor the arrangement to their own needs. And this means that everyone does it differently. There's no standard workday, no common conventions for writing text messages, and no one knows when it's their turn to speak on a conference call. You are your own IT department. If you're in an office, you can rely on IT specialists to address your technology issues. But if you're off-site, you need to get up and running and stay there, even if it's not your area of expertise. You spend more time building and maintaining relationships. When there are fewer chance encounters, you must purposefully and proactively reach out to colleagues. Because every interaction requires some planning, it carries a higher tax. More emails to answer, more calendar notifications to sort. Yet, the social distance between you and your colleagues is harder to close. Some days you feel so lonely you wind up talking the ear off the delivery person. You're communicating with blunt tools. Without face-to-face interaction, you spend more time sussing out unspoken expectations, trying to interpret incomplete messages, or sifting through pages of project updates. Other people can't see your work. How do you let colleagues know you're not binge-viewing the latest hit series? How can you manage people's perceptions of you with such limited opportunities for meaningful interaction? To meet these challenges, you'll need some great communication skills and a sense of initiative. You'll develop new instincts for how to express courtesy, enthusiasm, or dissent in digital communication. You'll become more self-reliant as solving technological glitches becomes routine, and more self-motivated as you develop rhythms with both your work and your partners to get your job done. You'll also learn to tolerate the ambiguity inherent in this work, to find the humor and spirit in a coworker's terse emails, or to make a decision on your own when your colleagues aren't around for consultation. For you, the payoff is a kind of flexibility that's hard to come by in a traditional office. Virtual collaboration gives you more control over your day-to-day experience and frees you to do work in the time, place, and manner that best suits your needs. And flexibility for you can actually mean a closer working relationship with each of your colleagues, whether they're a one-time collaborator in another city or a regular coworker who sits next to you in the office 4 days out of five. You'll stay in touch even when normal side-by-side routines don't bind you together, and you'll keep assignments moving along so that everyone stays productive. This level of productivity, of course, requires some upfront investment in relationship basics. You'll start at the ground level by setting expectations with your collaborators about how you'll work together. Clarify expectations for your work. You and a colleague across the country have agreed. You'll draft the proposal that's due Monday, and they'll edit it. But as you start your work, you realize that there are details you're not sure about. Will you run an outline by them before you start writing? Does editing mean they'll insert commas and remove typos, or does it involve substantive changes to content and language? Will they input the edits directly onto the draft, or deliver comments over the phone? If they text you at 9 p.m. on Sunday with a question, are you supposed to answer right away? Most of these questions are easily reconciled if you're working in close proximity. You can ask for clarification in passing or have your colleague look at something odd on your screen. But the flexibility of remote work means that you and your colleagues might be operating under vastly different circumstances, even in different time zones. What's convenient or natural for you might not be the same for them. If you're working from home in a pinch and don't set expectations with your colleagues in the office, they may forget, for example, that you're off-site and unable to keep physical design sketches circulating. In this chapter, you'll learn how to establish the scope of your collaboration and institute rules that will help you succeed. Define the work. Whether you're completing a one-time project for a client or collaborating on a monthly corporate update, delineating the work is one of the most important conversations you'll have with your virtual partners. How will you describe your common goals? What milestones will you set for the work? What form will your deliverables take? Getting alignment on these questions smooths the way for your work together and makes all of you mutually responsible. Start by initiating a discussion with your colleagues with the explicit goal of talking about how you'll collaborate effectively. To avoid having a long conversation about process over email or phone, for bigger projects, draft a collaboration charter, a shared document that everyone in the group can access and edit. See the sidebar Virtual Collaboration Charter. Ask the person leading the project to circulate this template. Or if there's no designated leader or the work is ongoing and not related to a singular project, create your own template and invite others to edit it. Push your collaborators to contribute to the charter from their own areas of expertise. For example, the person responsible for each milestone should help set target dates. Then schedule a call to review the document together, resolving disagreements, and answering questions. At the end of the call, ask everyone to verbally sign off and keep a copy in an accessible location, your Dropbox folder, for example, so that people can refer to the document thereafter. With this collaboration charter, everyone has a common reference they can turn to for basic questions while they're out in the field. Is this client request in scope? Or simply out of touch? Am I supposed to have this assignment ready on the 5th or the 15th? And if the communication hurdles of your arrangement lead to misunderstandings down the line, you'll use this document to resolve disagreements and maintain accountability. If you can't orchestrate a conversation such as this with the whole team, or if you're not part of one, create a charter for yourself. Schedule a one-on-one phone or video conversation with your boss, or set aside a quiet hour for the work. Take notes and share the document with the people you work with most frequently. It will come in handy if confusion or conflict develops later on. For short-term gigs where a formal charter doesn't make sense, run through these questions in an informal conversation with the colleagues who might be affected by your absence. If you're working from home for a week while the office moves, for example, talk to your supervisor before you leave. The following types of questions help clarify the work. What are our goals for this work over the next week? Here's what I have planned. What deliverables would you like to see by the time we're back? What can wait? So far, I'm thinking, what resources will I have while I'm out of the office? Are there any schedule issues I should plan for? I already know about. What milestones should we set over the next week? By Wednesday, I'd like to have done. Agree on roles, tasks, and processes. Now that you're clear about what work needs to be done, who will complete which tasks? Coordinating roles and responsibilities is inherently more challenging when you're not in the same physical location. If you don't check in frequently, your colleague in Cape Town will lose track of what your teammate in Miami is doing. But sending multiple messages to multiple recipients on multiple channels can create confusion and make it hard to track progress. To organize who does what, take the following steps. Simplify the work. Streamline things as much as you can, and agree on who ultimately owns each task. If you aren't in a position to influence these decisions, talk one-on-one with the people you'll be working with most directly to make sure that you're all on the same page. If necessary, press your boss for more direction and suggest the changes you'd like to see. Have each person share a role card. Itemize important information such as the person's title, general responsibilities, work schedule, close collaborators, and the key tasks, decisions, deliverables, and milestones the individual is attached to. These cards could be individual documents, emails, or entries on a shared wiki or message board. Review the info briefly during a meeting to clear up any misunderstanding. Agree on protocols. Guidelines are needed for important activities such as group decisions, tracking progress, and sharing updates. Consider these questions. Who in the group needs to be involved in each of these activities? And which communication technologies will you use for each of these activities? If you lack the authority to lead this conversation, pose these questions to your supervisor with respect to yourself. What activities do I need to be involved in? I'm thinking, or how should I share updates during a meeting? I'd like to establish a code of conduct. When you're out of the office, you're free to structure your time to suit your own particular habits and needs. But the routines that work for you also need to work for your colleagues. Set healthy boundaries and establish a code of conduct to which you can hold yourself accountable. And if you're out of the office just for the short term, managing your colleagues' expectations matters even more, since they're used to your regular schedule and routine. Flagging a situation that's out of the ordinary, working from home on Wednesday, back in the office on Thursday, will allow your work to continue without interruption. If you're part of a team, ask your leader to clarify the terms of engagement. If you're an independent contributor, initiate this conversation yourself with your colleagues. Table 1 outlines the topics to cover in each conversation. Shared expectations go a long way toward easing the frictions that exist in every working relationship. But whether you can meet these expectations as a remote partner largely depends not on your good intentions or memory, but on your technology. In the next chapter, you'll learn how to find and use the tools you need to be a reliable contributor. Manage your technology. When you work outside a traditional office, connectivity is everything. If your internet fails in the middle of a meeting, you can waste precious minutes on hold with customer support while your window of overlap with a colleague closes. It's frustrating to spend time problem-solving issues that don't fall within your area of expertise, but the stakes are high. Missed deadlines, canceled appointments, botched handoffs, technical glitches can scuttle your work and create frustration among your peers. At some point, technical difficulties start looking like old-fashioned irresponsibility. So how do you anticipate and resolve your technical problems before they become problems for your colleagues, too? Your responsibilities will depend on the nature of your collaboration. If you're a full-time employee with a regular or permanent remote work gig, your IT department will help you select and set up tools and even troubleshoot problems. But if you don't have the benefit of IT support, these guidelines will help you get your technology up and running on your own. Assess your needs. What tools do you need to get your work done? Which will help you collaborate most effectively with others? The answers to these questions aren't always the same. For example, you might prefer legacy software that other people don't know how to use. Or maybe your colleague likes working through problems on Slack, but you'd rather talk than type your way through complicated issues. To determine which technologies will make the relationship work best from both ends, take an inventory of your own needs and those of your collaborator. You'll start, of course, with a lightweight laptop or tablet. But what else? Do you trade large audio or video files with each other? Do you prefer instant messaging, IM, to long-form emails? Use the following questions to organize your thoughts. What's your primary way of communicating? Phone, email, or some other channel? Do you hold meetings? If so, how? Do you need any specialized software or hardware? Do you need to access any databases? How do you store and synchronize content? How important is it to your work that you see and share real-time updates to files, data, and the like? How much storage capacity do you need? What precautions do you take to secure information? What activities do you need to do on your mobile phone? Do you share or synchronize calendars? Do you need project management or issue tracking software such as Asana, Smartsheet, SharePoint, Jira, Microsoft Project, or Basecamp? What compatibilities must you plan for? For example, Apple versus Android. You don't have to answer these questions on your own. Talk about them with your colleagues, too. As you're making your final selections, consider these additional questions. If you work for a company, what technology does it provide? Do you have access to an IT department? If not, can your coworkers recommend a private consulting service? What's your budget for all technology, purchase, installation, and maintenance? Will your company pay for any of this? What assistance can your company provide? For example, does it offer free copies of software or virtual training? Are the tools you plan to use easy to install, learn, and use? Are they reliable? Do the tools require you to acquire any new components? Select your hardware and software. With the information you've gathered from your boss and your colleagues, you're ready to choose your tools. Sometimes these decisions, at least the big ones, will be made by a team leader or by IT. In other cases, it's up to you. hardware. When it comes to hardware, determining what you need beyond your mobile phone and laptop or tablet depends on where you work. Are you putting together a home office? Are you packing a bag for a work trip? Do you need materials you can travel with every day to a co-working space or a client site? Focus on the items that matter most to your setup, including the following: a good internet provider, for everything from communicating to uploading and downloading files. Pay attention to the results of your internet speed tests. For most types of work, 25 to 50 megabits per second download speed and 10 megabits per second upload speed should be sufficient. A landline, for high-quality audio during a conversation. Consider installing one in a home office and plan for access when you travel. Your own hotspot, for supplying a backup Wi-Fi connection anywhere. Look for tools that are super portable, such as a USB stick from your wireless provider or your mobile phone. A headset, for lengthy hands-free conversations. Look for a wired version that you won't have to charge or pair wirelessly with your phone or computer. A mini power strip, for securing a power supply when you're out and about, especially in a crowded cafe or at a convention. If all the outlets are taken, ask one claimant to plug into your strip instead. Look for a compact cordless model. Extra cables, for moving your work easily without the rigmarole of unplugging every component. Cable case, for organizing and transporting cables. Look for something with compartments for tangle-free cords and easy sorting of adapters. Battery and car adapter, for charging your devices on the go. Look for an inverter. It changes DC to AC so that you can charge your laptop in your car. Labels and tags, for keeping track of your stuff so that your laptop, tablet, charger, headset, and so on don't get mixed up with someone else's, even in your own home. Look for colorful cable IDs, stickers, or asset tags. Software. With software, what's right for you depends on the kind of work you'll be doing. Are you collaborating on a process or creating separate components for a final product? Do you work primarily with words, images, or audio? Focus on the items that matter most to the tasks you'll be completing, such as the following. Document collaboration. Look for tools that let you edit in real time and share files that are too large for email. Examples: Google Drive, Dropbox. Note sharing. Look for tools that collect all your notes and clippings in one place, sync across devices, and allow you to share content with colleagues. Examples: Evernote, SimpleNote, Google Docs. Scheduling. Look for tools that let you manage joint calendars with colleagues and set up in your own calendar various appointment slots that others can sign up for. Examples: Google Calendar, Calendly. Screen sharing. Look for tools that let you share with multiple users at the same time. Prioritize speed and reliability over complicated features. Examples: Join.me, Skype, WebEx, Google Hangouts. Instant messaging. Look for tools that you can connect to your phone, laptop, and tablet. Example: Slack, Google Chat, HipChat. Don't be afraid of trying out new tools, but the conservative choice is often the best. Pick items that are simple, reliable, and easy to use, maintain, and replace. So much the better if you already own them. Using familiar technology will save you time and keep your costs low. Put your tools to work. If you're part of a team, ideally your team leader will coordinate a conversation around how you'll use the tools that you've identified. If you're working in a looser arrangement, it probably doesn't make any sense to work out detailed rules, but you can still take the lead to clarify a few key items. Venue: which interactions belong on the phone, in email, and so on. Availability: How responsive will you be on each of these tools? How will you get in touch if something's truly urgent? Meetings. Who will set up and lead conference calls or host video chats? How will you get the call-in number and handouts in advance? If you're the only person calling in, who will introduce you? If the whole meeting is virtual, how will all of you identify yourselves when you speak? Version control. How will you make sure that you and your colleagues are working efficiently and without redundancy? When something goes wrong, who will be responsible for fixing the problem? Coordination. Which materials or tools do you need to synchronize? Who will set up and manage shared technology? Sensitive material. How will you safely share and store sensitive or proprietary material? Politeness and privacy. What does good behavior look like with each of these technologies? For example, can you call a colleague without an appointment? How will you avoid interrupting each other on a video chat if there's a delay? You don't need a hard and fast rule for everything. Pick the issues that matter most to your work experience or that seem to be troublesome for your coworkers. Bring up the topic in a respectful, upbeat way, and focus on a short list of specific behaviors. If your colleagues aren't responsive to your suggestions or if you feel uncomfortable talking to them about it, focus on disciplining your own tech use. Can you ask for handouts before a meeting? Redirect coworkers to your preferred communication tool. Update your IM status to let people know you're too busy to answer calls right now. Be proactive and consistent, and others may follow your lead. What to do when technology fails? Technology failures are confusing and embarrassing, but you can reduce their impact by accepting that they'll happen sooner or later and by planning for them. Prepare, test, and practice. Master critical troubleshooting moves before you need them. For example, know how to recover lost files, and remember rebooting your computer sometimes resolves issues. When you're first setting up your remote work tools before a big conference call, conduct a pre-mortem to catalog potential risks and to play out worst-case scenarios. Brainstorm Plan Bs. For example, what should you do if you're kicked off the call? And do a few trial runs to make sure they're viable. Keep a physical copy of a crisis card close at hand with information such as your account number with an internet service provider and the contact information for a local in-home IT service. See the sidebar Technology Crisis Card. Use the buddy system. A designated colleague can help you solve tech problems on the fly and act as a liaison for you with the rest of the team while your system is down. You can text them while your machine reboots or email them as you dial in again after a dropped call. Don't wait for disaster to strike before you establish this relationship. Ask a collaborator ahead of time and agree on the communication channels you'll use. Learn from others. Augment your own know-how with tips from your coworkers. If you're part of a virtual team, ask your leader to circulate a memo with recommended Plan Bs, resources, help links, and contact information. Or reach out informally on your own to colleagues. What backup plans do you have in place if your tech setup fails? Any advice from me? Consider creating a shared document where people can post their suggestions, or start a dedicated thread in a group discussion board or another forum. If you get good feedback, print it out and keep it handy offline. Managing your own technology will sometimes feel like a strange addendum to your real job, but your professional reputation depends on your competence in this realm. If your colleagues can count on you to upload files correctly, they're much more likely to trust you with the bigger things. In the next chapter, you'll learn additional best practices for creating trusting, productive relationships with your coworkers. Build productive relationships. All the shared documents in the world won't help you if your coworkers don't trust you. Maybe they don't think you'll be available if they need to reach you. Or they don't lobby for your name to be thrown out for...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?